You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. 2021 was a record-breaking year for the Idaho legislature in more ways than one. So what could be in store for the 2022 session that begins next week? Our James Dawson covers the legislature for Boise State Public Radio News, and he is joining us now to talk more. James, I feel like we've never stopped talking about the legislature in the last year.
No, definitely not, Gemma. I mean, it lasted up until about a month and a half ago. So, you know.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. So take us back to last year and kind of, you know, fill us in on that historic session. I mean, the first thing you mentioned was that it didn't even wrap up officially until last month.
Right. So it is technically the longest session, in Idaho state history. Of course, that was mostly because the Senate tried to sign EDI back in May when the House did not want to agree to that because of all kinds of concerns, whether it was, the governor potentially acting more on COVID-19 beyond what the legislature wanted him to, or they said it also due to redistricting, which is its own separate matter that is still, you know, ongoing right now in the courts. Next week we'll have something in the Supreme Court, a few cases on that with those maps being in question. But really back in January 2021, the main focus from most lawmakers really was somehow reining in executive power over, any sort of disaster or emergency that might come up, mostly focused on the pandemic. A lot of conservative Republicans thought that Governor Brad Little went too far in, having about a month stay-at-home order and then reopening Idaho in several stages, allowing certain businesses to open at certain times, which all those restrictions were lifted in July of 2020 or June of 2020, if I'm remembering correctly. But they saw that as an affront to their freedom. They also wanted to rein in any kind of power from school boards choosing to, make students and faculty and staff wear masks or which parents or how many people could be allowed to watch their kids play a football or basketball game, a soccer game, any kind of extracurricular activities. So that was a huge push last year. There was also, a fight over the budget with critical race theory accusations being tossed around with K-12 schools as well as public colleges and universities. That saw a few million dollars get cut from Boise State University, Idaho State University, and others, really, Boise State University of Idaho, LC. And that's going to come back up this year. And then there was also some federal funds, millions and millions of dollars of federal disaster relief money that was supposed to go towards pre-K education or other initiatives that also got rejected.
And I think we should note, too, Jimmy, that we then had one lawmaker resign over some fairly serious allegations. And then another legislator was censured. I mean, there was a lot that happened even within the body of the legislature that frankly had nothing to do with setting laws, et cetera.
That's exactly right. And it was more than I could fit into one breath, to talk about. But, you're referencing former Representative Aaron Von Ellinger from Lewiston, who was accused by a 19-year-old legislative staffer of raping her in March. It very serious matter. It went to an ethics hearing, like you said, and he resigned shortly after the ethics committee said that they supported completely expelling him. That case is now a criminal case, and it's ongoing. Mm-hmm. The trial is set for, later this year. And then, like you mentioned, there was another ethics hearing with Representative Priscilla Giddings, who it was kind of, related to the first ethics hearing where she posted a link to a far-right blog site that revealed the name and photo of the legislative staffer who accused Von Ellinger of rape. And you had, more than two dozen lawmakers sign a complaint against Giddings saying, this was completely beyond what is acceptable behavior from a state legislator. She said that she would have done nothing different. The House censured her, stripped her of a committee assignment, to which she basically said, oh, that's fine. I have a lot going on this year because she's running for lieutenant governor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so take us to this next legislative session. It begins next week, officially on Monday. It seems like we may see some similar themes, one being COVID-19.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So in the not special session, back in November, just a month and a half ago, we had several lawmakers trying to outlaw vaccine mandates. It was a big push because of some local large businesses, notably St. Alphonsus, St. Luke's, other healthcare systems and big businesses, implementing vaccine mandates for their own employees, not to mention the Biden administration's attempts to try to require large employers to have their workers vaccinated or get tested weekly, as well as federal contractors and federal employees. So those are ongoing in the court systems. They're currently stayed. So there's, nothing has been implemented as of right now. But I can't imagine that those bills won't be introduced again. But that would be a big hurdle because you have in the House, at least, Republican Representative Fred Wood. He's the only doctor in the legislature right now, and he refused to hear any of those bills during that session. So if they go through the Health and Welfare Committee, it's not going to be a pretty scene. He's said that he just doesn't believe in those kinds of bills being heard at all because they go against medical science.
Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned the budget from last year. This year, we have a significant budget surplus, Jimmy.
Yeah, we're talking about $1.5 billion and growing. And we're going to get an updated picture of that coming up later this week. A couple committees are going to meet at the state capitol on I think Thursday and Friday, I believe, to take a look at the newest economic forecasts for the state of Idaho. We still have, several months to go before the end of the fiscal year. But right now, with $1.6 billion, potentially on the table to touch, that's just a lot considering that the entire state's budget is just over $4 billion. So it's a ton of money, which... anecdotally from lawmakers that I've talked to, they say that, this kind of money can actually make it harder to legislate just because of all the competing interests for this money and how it should be spent. Everyone has a different idea of, maybe how a tax cut should be structured, or I want to pay for X thing over here. So it's an election year. Maybe that'll get them out earlier, but it's going to be a contentious year for sure.
So you mentioned possibly the legislators looking at tax cuts. Where do we see that heading this session?
It seems like everyone wants to give a tax cut. You had Brad Little, Governor Little, last month talk about, his potential plans where we'll actually get some details, during his budget address and State of the State address on Monday. But he's open to a tax cut. A lot of Republicans in the House and Senate obviously are interested in tax cuts as they are every year, even though we just had a historic tax cut last year as well and a rebate that went to taxpayers as well, which were hundreds of millions of dollars. So I can't see that not being a part of the equation as long as the money holds through. And if for whatever reason we don't have, if we somehow miss out on a $1.5 billion. That would be astronomical and really unthinkable.
Yeah. So, Jimmy, another thing that's could be a hot topic this year, and it kind of went silent for a while, and this is the idea of all-day kindergarten. And we should tell folks who may not realize this is that kindergarten is not even required in the state of Idaho. So let alone not all day kindergarten, but the majority of public schools in Idaho only offer half day kindergarten.
Right, right. Exactly. And this has been, oh man, like you mentioned, decades and decades and decades of debate. You know, you have Cecil Andrus, the former governor who used to be in the state legislature, who campaigned on that, you know, 50, 60 years ago, right? You know, when I went to public school in Idaho, I only had half day kindergarten. There was a court case where, you know, a couple parents sued West Ada School District that went to the state Supreme Court recently, saying that, you know, forcing parents to pay for full day kindergarten, you know, really amounts to unequal treatment under the law, because they couldn't afford the tuition that they would have had to pay for their kid to go all day. You know, that case is now back before a district court, but it seems like from people that I've talked to and other reports that I've read, there certainly are a lot of ideas going into how to actually structure some sort of bill to fund all-day kindergarten. I think that it would be really hard for lawmakers to have a case against it in terms of, well, we don't have the money with $1.6 billion just sitting on the table.
Right. And I think that that's such a good point, Jimmy, because in the past, I mean, I think about just with, you know, when I look at with my children, I mean, the school we ended up choosing for our oldest, who, by the way, is in eighth grade this year, was based on the fact that there was not all day kindergarten as an option. So we chose an option with that because we had the ability to do that, where a lot of people do not. But with that said, Jimmy, the argument, it seems to be from the legislature over the years, is like, well, how will we fund this?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And not only from a financial standpoint, but also from a logistical standpoint, like, you know, how do we count this in the funding formula? How do we do all these technical little things that, you know, requires a lot of work behind the scenes to structure a bill around? But it just seems like if you don't do it this year with the massive surplus that we have projected right now, when are you going to do it? Or when could you do it?
Mm-hmm. And before I let you go, you mentioned it being an election year. I want to end on that note, because does that, historically, when it's been an election year, our legislators want to get out. They want to get things wrapped up. They want to be out before Easter, which I believe this year is like April 16th or 17th. Is that going to happen? I mean, it's hard to think that it will, frankly.
Yeah, I was going to say, ask me on any given day and you might get a different answer. So
exactly.
I have no idea, Gemma, to be honest. But you're right. I mean, that's been kind of the conventional wisdom that they want to get out. They want to be able to start campaigning. The kind of hitch that might be in this year's elections, like I kind of mentioned with redistricting, is those maps are kind of in flux. So if the state Supreme Court next week or in the coming weeks decides to strike them down and make the bipartisan redistricting commission redraw those lines, then, you know, we might see delays in the primary, which is currently scheduled for May, because people just wouldn't be able to see, oh, this is the district that I live in and I can, you know, craft my message and get all the campaign details kind of ironed out beforehand. So people are just kind of twiddling their thumbs, eagerly waiting for, you know, some kind of a decision and certainty on that.
All right. Well, as always, Jimmy, we so appreciate that you are at the State House covering this for us. Of course, you will be there all session. We've been talking with our James Dawson. As I mentioned, he does cover the legislature for Boise State Public Radio News. Jimmy, it is always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Same to you, Gemma. Thanks.
More Idaho Matters next.